This is a homemade broadcast radio production.
There's a ghost out in the hall. There's a ghoul beneath the bed. Now it's coming through the walls. Now it's coming up the stairs. There's a spirit in the dark. Hear the beating of his heart. Can you feel it in the air? Ghosts are hiding everywhere. Gonna be exactly what you wanna see. It's you who's driving me. It's you wanting me to be the stranger in the night. Am I amusing you?
You did warn me. I had a long intro.
Yeah, I did.
I thought it would be going by now. This is the HMB Sides Extra Content, available only on HMBRadio.com. This is the B Sides with Dave B, local comedian, conservative black guy in the building. We had a nice little conversation on the homemade broadcast and decided to carry it over.
Absolutely.
He's very excited to be here, as you can tell.
Yes, I am.
In his voice.
I'm excited that you actually played that song. And yeah, I did warn you that the intro is a little long.
I thought it was going to kick in a little sooner.
No,
is it even kicked in yet?
Oh, yeah, we just missed the entire chorus.
And now he's back doing his thing.
Now he's back into the next doing verse.
It was like productions with him. They were never music videos. They were mini plays.
Oh, yeah, that's what I loved about him. I mean, he took the video medium to the next level because he loved movies. And so everything was exactly that.
Do you think he did it? Do you think he molested the kids?
I don't think he did. I mean, I don't think it's as bad as people made it out to be. I think maybe he might have, you know, done some things in innocence because he's a kind of screwed up individual. But I don't think he actually, like, molested anybody.
I still think he did.
You think so?
Yeah. Sad to say. I have a friend. My friend Katie is really into Michael Jackson. She gets pissed whenever I bring it up. Because she believes in him that much. But
yeah,
seems like the evidence that's been brought forth. I know he was, you know, found innocent of these things. But I think something came up recently, too. Like, post-mortem. Like, within the past year or something. That was pretty damning.
Oh, I didn't see. I have to check that out. But
don't. Yeah. It doesn't matter at this point.
It's like, I have to go ahead and destroy my childhood right now.
Yeah. So we were talking politics. Do you want to get back into this?
We can go any which way, you know. We can continue to talk politics. I mean, we can talk life, talk comedy, talk music.
Let's just talk politics. I don't get a chance to talk politics very often because I keep my mouth shut. So are you going to go ahead and pull the lever for Mr. Trump then?
Oh, man. I am definitely leaning in that direction.
Yeah.
It's
begrudgingly, though. I'm sure it's going to pain you a little bit.
It does. And I don't think that's what people realize. And especially, and we talked about this. We talked about this in our original conversation about Facebook not carrying tone. You know, you go out there and you say things that look positive for Trump, when mostly what I say is kind of negative against Hillary. And, you know, you support Trump. And then it becomes, okay, now you are Trump. You must be for, you know, harassing women and all these other creepy things. And I'm like, well, no.
This was another thing I found with my liberal friends, especially women, which is kind of funny. But they'll say, they're in a live tweeting, I'm, you know, going through my Twitter, and one of my lady friends brought up the say her name hashtag when Hillary brought up his pussy grabbing. You can curse on this one too, by the way. This one's all podcast. So the pussy grabbing thing, I don't understand how people are reading into it the way they're reading into it. They're saying that he is just grabbing women's pussies because he's Donald Trump. What he was saying was that I garnered, and let's see what you think about it, but I'm famous. It's amazing what I can do. They just let me do these things.
Right.
And he didn't say, I'm just grabbing. Imagine a woman just crying and he's just like, honk, honk. What are you going to do about it, bitch? I mean, it's so rich. And doesn't it seem crazy? And then they say, oh, well, all these women came forward now. You don't think that's a weird time for them to come out 3 weeks before the election?
Yeah, the timing on that is just so perfect.
Yeah, it's weird, right? And,
yeah, I listen, man, this is one of the issues where I didn't want to get drug into these issues when talking to friends and people who are, you know, either saying stuff on Facebook or, you know, sometimes even in person. But I had to because I can't stand stupid. Like when it gets to a point where it's just like, you can be stupid, but you have to eventually shut up. Like you have to eventually, I don't want to hear it anymore because I'm going to have to say something. And to me, this is like the dumbest thing. This is tabloid, Kardashian level bullshit, you know? And you just like, okay, well, this is what political discourse is now. And for me, it's like, I took it exactly as you said. And at the very least, it could be interpreted either way. But I took it as, okay, he's bullshitting with his friend. You know, he's talking about, I was like, hey, man, I'm rich. And I just walk up to girls and kiss them, and I just grab them by the pussy, right? And like, who hasn't said something stupid about what they can do with women?
I know I have.
Yeah. No,
but it's just talking to guys. And then they say, well, this is not how guys talk. Yeah, maybe not to that extreme, but we definitely gossip about
this
girls.
Is how women talk.
Sure. Like, yeah, that's...
That's the other thing that people don't even bring up, and I don't even go there because I know, like...
Well, it's a gray area because sexual assault is a big deal, right?
It is, yes.
So when you say, say her name regarding the Trump, you know, accusations, what about Hillary's husband, who's been, for 25 years, has been accused of this stuff?
But Will, that's not Hillary.
Right.
Those are two different people.
Will. But she says every woman has a right to be believed.
But Will, we're talking about two separate entities who occupy two different spaces in time. And the fact that they're married and that they've gone through this together, and it doesn't mean that she knows anything or is complicit in it. You know what? Screw this. No, it's bullshit. It's absolutely bullshit. It's stupid because... I mean, it's backwards, and this is how it's backwards to me, is that, okay, on the one end, you want to criticize someone like me who says, well, maybe Trump is just, you know, bullshitting with his friend. Maybe that's all he's doing. And you want to come to me, Mr. Liberal person or Mr. Feminist. There's a lot of those out there, apparently.
Yeah, I know.
And you want to come to me and say, how dare you? It's clear he's talking about sexual assault. You terrible person. Can't you see that as sexual assault? I can't believe you would even stick up for this guy. It's like, oh. Me, Mr., you know, just independent person looking at it from a far distance, don't know the guy, you know, just kind of taking it in. And yet on the other end, when I say, but what about Bill? You're like, well, no, that's, she's not Bill. Yeah, but she can, like, see what's going on.
I understand that, yeah.
Yeah, but in the same way that you say that I can, you know, interpret things as being very fishy and bad, I'm pretty sure his wife, who's there every second of the day, also is privy to some information that we both know and don't know. So you don't think that she's a little bit possibly complicit? At least, at the very least, her judgment's not the best because she hung around.
Right.
You're like,
but when you say a woman has a right to be believed, your husband is accused of these things. And then you've called these women hussies and liars, and,
right.
Which they... Could be. I go the assumption that our justice system says you're innocent until proven guilty.
Right.
Which is the way it should be. But now, that's not the case. Women have a right to be believed, period, in all cases. And then you bring up these hoaxes that have come around, the UVA hoax, the
right.
Duke lacrosse team. Mm-hmm. I'm always dubious, which it sucks because I don't want to be. You want to believe that person if something horrible happened to them. But at the same time, I'm very dubious of those claims, whoever says it.
And you have to be skeptical because otherwise the people who are actually suffering out there are done a disservice. Like until you can weed out the liars and the people who put out the hoaxes and are just trying to get, you know, something for themselves, the people who actually need help aren't going to get the help because eventually the average person who's just not thinking about it that much and who's not trying to weed out the truth, eventually they hear so much noise, they just tune it all out. They're like, okay, it's just like every other day someone's, you know... Like, let's say, for example, in this whole, this frenzy of Trump accusations, there's one of those accusations is true. Well, you know what? Someone like myself or someone who doesn't you know, even think that hard about these things or look into them might be like, well, there's too many of these for me to care. You know, there's too many of these to get, like, a lot of them look fishy on the surface. Like there's a story of the one lady who's like, oh, he was in a club. Like, someone touched my butt. I ran the other direction. And then I looked around, and someone told me it was Trump. Or I thought it was Trump, or it looked like Trump. Like, so you were in a club, okay, and someone touched your butt. And you, instead of looking around immediately, you went away and then looked around, and you just saw someone sitting kind of near where you were.
Assumed, right.
Have you ever been in a club? Like, and this is supposed to be, like, a damning story for Trump, you know. This is the sort of thing that people think about. All the while, someone who's actually been raped, and those were actual allegations against Clinton, was actual rape. Not mm-hmm. like, oh, a little goosing here or a mm-hmm. little kiss there. No, actual rape.
Yeah.
You know, I can remember the woman actually did an interview on, I can't remember her name, but she did an interview on CNN, was in tears talking about what had happened to her. Like, not just showing up.
Yeah, which one? There was a few that did that.
Yeah, no, yeah, exactly. And,
Broderick. Nina Broderick,
yes,
or something like that?
That's the one I had seen. I hadn't seen the others, but... Yeah, and you have these... there's a certain glibness to some of these women who come forward accusing Trump. It's just like, oh, yeah, he did it. He's such an asshole. Like, you know...
Well, they hate... The people who say this hate Trump so much that the other stuff... doesn't matter. They just they're focusing on this guy, mm-hmm. so their priorities are him,
right?
And the others, yeah, but this I want to focus on right now. So they hate him so much, they don't look critically. It can be in print. They don't read it right. I think is a lot of it because they're so twisted with hatred. They'll turn it however they want.
Right.
And the pussy grabbing thing was. I mean, it was kind of funny, number yeah. one, I thought. Sorry, but it was kind of funny. Yeah. And it was, you know, he's talking about, oh, I might kiss her. It was cringy. It was humiliating. But he didn't really go was. And grab her and kiss her. He's yeah. fucking joking around with this guy.
Yeah.
You know, and it's, I'm sure I've said way worse things than that. And never did it, of course. It was maybe a crude joke that maybe wasn't even funny. But it was just joking around with my buddy at the time. You know, guys do that.
Yeah. Yeah, I wasn't raised to be the way. I was raised to kind of treat women a certain way, you know, and, you know, treat them, you know, as the wonderful gifts from God that they are. You know?
Magical creatures. Create life.
Right. And it's respectful. And that's how I was raised. As I've gotten older, you know, I still have that. That's like my instinct. But I guess as I get more cynical about how, you know, I guess... You know, for example, feminism and how that has kind of worked its way into the mainstream, you know, and not just like the original feminism, but like this new age feminism.
Third wave, yes.
It's really frustrating to talk to people. And like when you actually sit down and talk to people and actually get past all the BS, you start realizing, oh, you actually agree with me. You feel like you need to say this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and especially when you're talking to guys. But girls too, they just like, you get down to the brass tacks and you kind of weed through everything. You're like, oh, you're kind of trying to be reasonable too, because you don't want to be treated like you're this special, you know, princess. But at the same time, you don't want to be treated like some kind of slut. You want to be treated like who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And okay, well, if you want to be treated that way, don't also ask for these other things.
Right. They want equality, but then they want special treatment on some other things where you can't right. say anything mean on the internet. I saw the Twitter... because there's, you know, abuse with women on Twitter. Mm-hmm. So a study came out, most people using misogynistic tweets on Twitter to women are women. The majority of them. And it's like, you know, I mean, you can't make this shit up, man.
No.
So they want to censor themselves in that occasion then.
Right.
No, it's so out of whack and so funky. And all these things that they come up with, usually there's a counterpoint that totally disproves their theory.
Right.
In general, with this third wave crap, it's out of control. I think women are equal. I do. I think women should be paid the same. They are.
Yeah, no, they are. Yeah, I mean, that's been debunked so many times.
But it hasn't. With that other side, they'll say, well, it's illegal. Okay, the Fair Pay Act made it illegal not to pay someone the same wage for the same job. And it's easily explained. It's by the career choices and how much time their work. That's where the gap comes in. And then exactly. I think when you close that, it's like 2% or 3%.
Right. And depending on the job and the industry, women get paid more.
Yes. Like, younger girls are getting paid more than their male counterparts.
Yeah.
Because they want to make up for the gap. Right. That doesn't exist.
Exactly. And more of them, I mean, women, you know, do better in school. They have come a long way from where they think they are. They think they actually live in the third world countries that, you know, they think they live in, when they talk about the patriarchy, you know, it's like, well, you don't really know what a patriarchy is, do you? Mm-hmm. You don't really know how bad it can be, do you?
Like, and they don't. Because and people will point it out, you know, with gay rights and stuff, you're murdered. If you're in Africa or if you're in Saudi Arabia, the Middle East, they'll kill you.
Dead. There's no conversation. The fact that you think you can argue with me proves the point that you're not in the kind of patriarchy that you think. The fact that you can come up to me and say the things to me and about me that you can, and I can't just punch you in the face and no one do anything about it. like I don't want to punch you in the face, but. Like, you don't know that. You don't know me. Like, you don't know, like, guys, you say that. And in a lot of situations, women do get punched in the face, and they are abused by terrible human beings, by terrible men. But that's terrible men, just like there are terrible women.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's terrible people in the world, which a part of the equality for women is recognizing when a woman is a terrible woman.
Right.
You know.
And you can't do that. They're all special. They never lie. They never do anything wrong. They're a special class, but they want to be treated. They want to be shitty men and do the same stuff men do.
Yeah, like, well, I don't get that. I don't. It's like, I want to be as shitty as you. I'm like, no, you don't. This is terrible. Like, I love being a man, but that's because that's who I am. That's my experience in life, and I accept who I am. But man, why would you want to be me? Like,
yeah. It's not that great.
It really isn't.
I keep getting told on the internet how privileged I am as a white male. I'm like, I'm living in the poverty line. It's not that great to be me. Yeah, maybe I can walk down the street. I do feel bad for chicks that walk at night because I'm afraid to walk at night by myself. So I feel for them if you see a guy like me approaching you and you're a petite girl. I always try to, I don't even want to look at him. I don't want to scare him. You know what I'm saying? So that maybe might be a privilege there, I guess.
Oh, no, but it absolutely is. It absolutely is. Women are half, like, generally speaking, half our size, half our strength. I can't imagine what it's like to walk in the world. I'm like, about 6 foot, a little bit over. I can't imagine what it's like to walk around in the world, like, just, you know, being that, you know, on average shorter and, you know, weaker than everybody else. That has to be frightening, you know, which is why I tend to believe that, hey, women, don't turn away good men, because good men historically, you know, have been the ones to protect you. You couldn't take care of yourselves. Like, that's not, and I don't think that's a controversial thing to say, even though people be like, but what?
It's not, but it is. So right. There's a reason this 250,000 years of evolution have worked. There are certain things that, there are certain roles that people fill that they get done. It's successful. It's why there's 3-4 billion of us on the planet now.
Right.
And they want to, you know, you want to work, fine. But now my friends, girlfriends, get grossed out when they talk about babies. I don't want a baby. Ugh. It's like, what do you mean? You're going to be so lonely when you're 40.
That is a biological imperative. And, you know, it's, I mean, for our species.
Look at it as like you're selling out if you have a baby. Because everybody's going to be Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Yeah, to whom? Like, who are you? Who are these people who think? And I mean, on average, when you look at, you know, people who are better off or even more intelligent, they tend to have less babies in particular situations, like the one we have, when you have like a welfare state and resources are being, you know, transferred from the working part of the population to the non-working part of the population. Intelligent people tend to look at, you know, these different factors, either, you know, consciously or subconsciously, and they value things a little bit differently. Like, they'll have, you know, the ones who do have children will have one or two children, and that's fine. You know, that's replacement rate. And then while someone who's poor will have more children. And, you know, it's unfortunate because that person who happens to be a little bit more intelligent or goes to school, you know, goes to a college, university, and they learn certain things, they kind of internalize this idea that, well, You know, I want to be self-realized. I want to have, and this is, I think it hurts women more than men, because men, I think, in a way, have always kind of been this way. But for women, it's just like, well, I need to realize my potential. I need to realize who I am. And I need to do all these things. And I can't do that if I have a baby. And that's true to a certain extent. But there is that biological imperative that will be there, and you can't ignore it. Like, you have to come to terms with it in some way. You can't just be like, oh, well, I'm not going to have a baby, and that's going to be cool. I'm not going to think about it. Well, no, you'll have to think about it, because your body's going to be like, hey, it's baby time. like once a month, your body's like, hey, like, this is what we're trying to do here. You only have a few eggs left.
Yeah.
Like, and that's amazing to me. I have a little girl now, and that whole experience has just been incredible. She's 18 months, and so I had to learn about, like, the whole process of birth and just the unlikelihood of just her being born.
Yeah.
Like, just that whole process just is amazing. And it's terrifying. It's all those things. You know, she wasn't planned, but I'm so glad she's here.
Mm-hmm.
And we get scared of these things, and we put these things off, and to some extent, we demonize them. You know, like, this will destroy who I am. It's like, mm-hmm. No, this is actually kind of a fulfillment of a part of who you are. You know, especially as a woman, a part of who you are is someone who can give birth. Now, that doesn't mean you have to go do that, but that is something that can fulfill a part of who you are that, you know, can't
be. That's why you're here.
It can't be realized
biologically to reproduce. That's what you're here for.
And it can't be realized any other way. Like, you can't realize that part of you, unless you adopt. I mean, that's a whole other issue. But just in terms of giving birth, you can't realize that experience without actually having a baby, you know.
They all think, too, that they'll just get pregnant when they're 40. I got in a fight with my cousin because she went, her and her husband, they're working on it. She's in her mid-30s now. I mm-hmm. think she's closer to 40 at this point. And I was like, Britt, and I started knocking on my non-existent watch. And she got taken aback by that. I'm like, if you're over 35, you're going to be in a geriatric mother's unit at this point. If you're waiting a few more years, you're going to be 40. Well, grandma had kids when she was 40. Yes, that one person, they take one thing, a little piece of anecdotal evidence, and that's proof. You don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah. My dad is 10 of 11 children, and my mom is 7 of 7, and so he was a little bit later on in my grandmother's life, but that's after having already had several children. It's just kind of like, you know.
It's harder the first time than it is. If you keep it going, your body kind of gets, oh, okay, I know what we're doing now.
And exactly, then, yeah. Exactly. And it's so much more dangerous when you're that much older. Like, it's much better to have kids really early in life. My parents, strangely, I had my little girl, I'm 33 now, and they had me around the same time I had my little girl, which I thought was strange. And I was the firstborn, and I'm one of three. And I just found that interesting because they got married relatively early, like in the early 20s, and they lived for about 8 years before I came along. And I think it was fortunate, you know, for me and for them that it worked out in the way that it did. But a lot of times you want to get it out of the way earlier because you're healthier and you're able to deal with it. Now, I'm not a doctor, obviously, but just the philosophy of I want to wait until later. Well, later will be here before you know it, and when it gets here, you may not be ready to make it happen. And birth, because of how difficult it is, like, so many things can go wrong, you want to be in the best possible shape you can be. And you don't want to put yourself and you don't want to put your baby in jeopardy. And that's kind of what people are doing when they say, oh, I'll wait till 40. Like, 40, that is insane to me that you would wait to that point. You could possibly have a baby, but...
Well, there's higher, you know, more birth defects.
Yeah,
this is what the autism rise is older mothers.
Possibly,
I think
yeah.
that has a lot to do with it. People want to blame the vaccines. It might have something to do with it. Doesn't seem like it, though, from the research that's been published.
Right.
But, I mean, there's a lot of risk in that. But also, too, I kind of understand these people that want to wait because the economy stinks.
Right.
And we don't have any money. Our generation doesn't have any money.
And that's fair. That is very fair, too. I think there's a lot of things. I mean, obviously, there's nothing happening in a vacuum. We've kind of been sold this thing that we need to go to school, you know, get our degree, then we'll get a good job, and then everything will work out. That's kind of how my parents sold it to me.
Yep.
And I don't, I'm not upset with them for selling that to me. Like, I wish...
It was true in their day.
Yeah, it was very true. Like, my dad, he commuted to school. Like, I went to UCF. He went to UCF back when it was, like, two buildings. Mm-hmm. Like, and just barely out of being a technical school. But, you know, he went out there when there was, like, two buildings in the midst of a whole lot of nothingness. Like, he drove down back roads, like, an hour every day to go to school, and he worked full-time. He did all these things, and he paid for school. It's like, yeah, I did it, and I got a degree, and I worked over here, and I worked over there. And I'm like, wow, that's amazing. I don't think anyone could ever do that now.
Yeah.
Like, that's impossible. You got to take out ridiculous loans, and you have to be there full-time working. Some people try to work, but that's only to take care of, like, extra stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing that generation is so out of touch with that process. And they don't know why. It's like, they can't understand, well, why can't you just be successful? Like, I don't understand. Just, you got
a
degree.
You
got the degree. Like, just go.
Go get a job, dude.
Just go do it, man. Like, what's wrong with you? And what I did was, I'm an attorney now, but when I got out of school, I decided to become a teacher. And my mom was a teacher, so I wanted to, like, use my youth to my advantage and talk to, you know, younger people and, you know, be actually, you know, especially as a black man, he's like, hey, well, let me be somebody in the school system who's going to, you know, be a role model for somebody. And so I did that for a few years. School system, I saw how it worked from the inside as a teacher, and it was absolutely terrible. You know, I did what I could to try to affect the people that I could, but I'm like, man, these kids aren't making it. Most of these kids are not making it. And you're telling them to just go to college? No. I was telling some of those kids, like, don't go to college.
Mm-hmm.
Don't waste your time. You are going into negative money if you go to college now. Like, you are not, you're barely making it here. I think that you're a very capable person. I think you're a very smart person. Like, whenever you're talking about this topic or that topic that's interesting, you're a freaking genius. But when it comes to this, you have no clue, and you don't want to have a clue. I'm trying to help you have a clue. I want you to get the basics so that you can go out there and get a job, you know, doing something.
Or start your own business.
Or start your own business, exactly. And so many people, and I tell them these things because no one told me. Like, I, you know, at 33, I look back on my life and realize that, well, I did, you know, follow a certain path, and I learned certain things. I am who I am because of what I did, and that's wonderful. But, man, if I... known like 10 years younger, I would have a job right now, and I'd be close to retiring because I already know what I want to do. Mm-hmm. Now I'm working that plan now. You know, I'm saving up money, and I want to start this business, and that business will be started, and I'm going to be making money, presumably. But, man, this should have happened 10 years ago. Someone should have told me.
Yeah, you know? Who knows where you'd be if you would have started then. Yeah, I know, and I think part of that, too, is kind of entrepreneurs are kind of looked down upon almost mm-hmm. as greedy. That's how our generation looks at them. Do you want to make money? Why? Almost. You know what I mean? Right. Do you want to be rich? Why? The rich people are evil. They're the bad guys.
Capitalism is bad. Like, you've probably heard me tell this joke before about capitalism, what capitalism is. And it basically the joke is, you know, you just named two attractive women. Now, if these two attractive women each want to give you a blowjob, and they're just trying to, and they're arguing, I can give you the better blowjob. No, I can't. And so you're like, all right, well, let's see. You're not going to really say no. Like, and they're going to compete for that. And you're just going to get two really good blowjobs. And you can choose one at the end, but, like, you're still going to get, like, you have that choice. Like, that's what capitalism is that, like, people think of businesses as people being greedy, just taking money from people. It's like, no, they're competing to please you. Like, mm-hmm. that's what the businessman is. He wants your
and driving
business.
Down the price of yeah. these goods and services that you want.
Exactly. Like, you are the boss. The government, it's a whole different animal, the government, where it says they are the authorities. And, oh, we will do this for you, but, you know, we're still kind of running things. Like, we're going to get money not because we're selling these valuable services such as building roads and, you know, water or even the legal system. We're not selling you those services. What we're doing is we're taking money from you at gunpoint via police and the army, and then we're giving it back to you saying, hey, these are these services. In the meanwhile, we're going to waste a lot of it on projects that we want and, you know, keep it for ourselves, you know, buy three different homes by being a politician for your entire life. You know, we're going to do stuff like that. In the meanwhile, you'll get a little bit of those services and you're going to be happy about it, even though your roads are run down, your water is terrible, all these things that are falling apart. But you can't go to any other business.
Right. You're stuck with that.
Sorry.
And it costs this much, and it always gets more expensive, not less expensive.
Never does.
And that's the argument, too. They'll always say, well, you don't like roads? Like, it's like, yeah, I like roads. There are certain things, but you could still bid these. I mean, I guess the city's not putting out these contracts. They're getting, you know, companies to build these things, but they're usually stuff under the table. They give them to their brother-in-law, and they charge it. Okay, this is what it is. This is what it is.
They take these bids, and then they make a decision on what bid they're going to take.
But I've never seen anything that the government does that they do well. Anything. Charter schools do better than regular schools.
Yep.
The DMV's terrible. That, I guess, you don't have a choice for. I don't know. But that's what the government is to me, is the DMV.
Yeah.
Just the whole way around.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. And, God, I've had my license suspended and nearly arrested. I was nearly arrested without even knowing because the DMV screwed up my paperwork. And I'm like, and do I have any recourse for that? No, absolutely not. It's like, you know, have a nice day. Pleasure serving you.
Yeah,
like,
sorry about that. That's the most like you'll get out of it. Yeah.
All that time and money later. Oh, yeah, sorry. Oh, yeah, and sorry, you're not getting that money back either. It was a mistake on our fault, but you get to pay for it. Thank you. We are your government.
And people love it. They love government. Our generation loves government anyways. I don't know what happened to these, you know, anarchists. Even these punk guys that were around in the 80s who were fighting the power, now they're all, you know, Bernie supporters. If you listen to, was it Biafra, who was the Bernie guy? I don't know. It's one of the old punk guys. I was listening to some interview. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, what happened to you? I thought you were supposed to get wiser with age. And I guess, I get the appeal of Bernie.
Medicaid.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, that's another good example, this Obamacare thing.
Oh, God.
The premiums are doubling. Like, luckily, I have it's going to take 10% of your paycheck now.
I look forward to that.
Luckily, I have a job that pays my health insurance. Thank God. Because I don't make any money. I'd be screwed.
And that's part of the problem. Like, part of the problem with the cost of healthcare. I actually had this conversation the other day. Talking about, you know, it was sparked by the Obamacare thing, but like, well, what are we going to do? Healthcare just, you know, it costs so much, you know, like, yeah, but why do you think it costs so much? Like, the cost of healthcare is high because of all the different
regulations that are on it.
Like, that's why it costs. Like, the actual cost of healthcare is not that much. Like, you see a lot of doctors now in a lot of hospitals actually opting out of the system. They're just like not taking insurance. And because we built up this system where you get your insurance from your company and as a part of your, you know, salary, then so we built this whole system up around insurance companies where you look at any other industry, when you have car insurance, that car insurance doesn't cover oil change, you know, it doesn't cover tire rotation. No, you get those things, you know, separately, and you see the prices and you get them when you need them. Now, when you have an accident, that's when you need your car insurance, house insurance. You don't get house insurance to get a new bed. You know, like, you don't need it for a new ceiling fan. No, it's when a flood comes and destroys your shit. Like, that's what it's for. But health insurance, apparently it's different. Like, no, you need insurance for everything. Every time you have a sniffle, every time you need to get a pill, health insurance. Not for when you have actually broken your leg or you have a fatal disease, anything like that. No, it's for everything. So people go and take all these services and it costs so much and it drives up premiums. And hospitals are more than happy to take it because you're not actually paying for them. The insurance company is paying for them. And so they're like, yeah, we can drive up the costs all we want because our customer is not this guy. It's the insurance company. Now, when the government gets in charge and they're the payer, they can drive it up even more. And to go back to the schooling.
Yep, that's what I was just about to say.
Yeah, it's like, if I was a school, if I ran a school, I'd be like, hell yeah, I'm charging whatever the fuck I want because this guy over here is not going to pay it.
Yeah, why wouldn't
you? The government's going to flip the bill. I don't have to worry about it. You know, they'll come out in the end. I'll be rich and dead by the time it comes back and ruins everyone's lives.
And I'm 40 grand in debt. Probably more, actually. I don't even know from school.
I don't even talk about my dead man.
It's and it's hindering. It's like my credit sucks because I can't pay my loans. Mm-hmm. I can't get a loan for a car. Definitely, I know I won't be able to get one for a house. I mean, and I'm not the exception. You know, I'm the rule of what's going on. Most of my friends are in this position. When the government interferes in anything, it drives up prices on everything. And then, you know, I'll talk to my other, oh, no, when Elizabeth Warren wants to, you know, get more regulation, I'm like, oh, good, because the regulation we have now is going great. We need more and more and more and more.
The hundreds of thousands of regulations that we have now, it's just fantastic. We need just a few more. We just hit that magic number of 1,237,556, and then we hit nirvana.
Yeah, this free thing, too, free education, people just can't wrap their head around it, that nothing's free. There's no such thing as a free lunch, but I don't know if they haven't thought about it or haven't thought about it in the right way. They just hear free, and they trust their government. I don't know why, but they trust the government.
Well, a part of it is also intelligence. I mean, when you get to, like, IQs and stuff, there's evidence and studies that, you know, lower IQ people don't know how to defer gratification, you know.
Now you're getting into eugenics, Dave.
No. Well, it's I'm not a fan of eugenics because that's another government program. But, no, just kind of in general. Because, and even intelligence, I kind of look as intelligence is, you know, IQ doesn't determine everything. But I think it is indicative of something, whether it be the decisions or other, you know, environmental or nurturing factors. But, you know, there's a correlation somewhere in there where, you know, people of a certain intelligence or lower intelligence have trouble, at least, deferring gratification, or at least they don't understand the idea that, okay, well, if I save this today, I'll have more tomorrow. They're more interested in what they can get now. And so if you get enough of those kinds of people, whether it's intelligence or other things, you get enough of those kind of people as voters in a system where you can actually vote for stuff you want. They're like, oh, I want all this stuff now. And all I have to do is cast this ballot, and this magical thing called government's going to give me what I want. Ooh, I want all that stuff. I don't want to have to work or save or build up a future. Well, screw the future. I want my stuff now.
Yeah, they'll take care of me. Take care of me. I don't have to worry about it.
And that's what you're taught in school about how the government's going to take care of you. So even when you're a smart person, you know, you know, like you get, you're on this level, you're on a higher level. You know how to actually, to a certain extent, defend your point of view without having to deal with the realities and implications of it. You know, the person down here is just like, oh, I get what I want. That's cool. You know, the person up here is like, oh, well, I can tell you why what I want is good and how it's going to be a perfect society of this, that, and the other thing and blah, 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 blah. But I want what I want. You know, it's like, you're still saying the same thing. You just added some flowery words there. You just want what you want. And it's frustrating to have to deal with people like that.
And it's the majority of people, unfortunately. I think this is only going to get worse before it gets better.
Right.
We need
the
whole thing to come crashing down. Everything.
Right. Which is why a part of me, like, if Hillary wins this thing, I'm just going to, like, sit back and just like, man, it's going to...
Ride the wave, man. That's all you can do.
It's going to be so bad, and I'm just not going to want to say I told you so. I hope that it doesn't turn out as badly as I think it can.
People have been saying this for a long time, though.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't remember it. I'm only 31, so I don't really remember a long time ago, but I know people have been talking about, oh, if this guy wins, if Bush gets in, the world's going to end. And
yeah.
I mean, he kind of sparked off this whole thing in the Middle East. That was kind of his bad. But,
yeah.
Well,
I mean, World War One sparked off the whole thing, right?
Yeah,
and like
we've been
just,
at war forever.
Yeah, perpetual the entire 20th century almost was just us at war.
Yep,
and we're reaching a point now where it's like, well, there is a tipping point. It may be this election, it may be the election after, but it's going to be pretty soon because I mean, Russia is, you know, a world power. They've built themselves back up. China's built themselves up. China is a little bit more shaky because their monetary system is kind of paper mache.
And see, they need us too. China needs us. We need them for our shit.
Right.
But so that's kind of I don't know how far it could go. I mean, it's definitely a Cold War right now type of thing.
Yeah,
but Russia's sparking it back up, man. They're ready for a hot one, it sounds like.
Yeah. Like we're getting back into that Cold War situation, except that, you know, I mean, the stakes are a little bit different, I think. Like, we have a lot more bases, we've invaded a lot more places, and we've made a lot more express threats, you know. I think it was Joe Biden who was talking about how hacking was an act of war, like doing those sorts of things. It's an act of war which is actionable, you know, by the military. You know, he's like, either it's actionable either by, you know, hacking back or using the military. And so when he says some stuff like that and sets that precedent, and then Hillary comes out and says, well, the Russians hacked us. Okay, so what you're saying is they just committed an act of war, mm-hmm. which requires what?
Like, where, and now she doesn't have to go to Congress either. She has that power now.
Yeah, and once she's president, she can do that. And it's like, well, where does this thing go? Because when you start talking about no-fly zones, yeah, the only planes you're going to be shooting down are Russian planes, maybe Iranian planes.
The whole...
Do you think that's...
Middle East thing is fucked. There's no way to diplomatically, or I think even by bombing and acts of war, to fix that. I said it when I was doing my intro to the last podcast. I was watching the front line, confronting ISIS and then terror in Europe. Mm-hmm. So the confronting ISIS was very in-depth about pretty much how this whole thing with Syria went down.
Right.
Everybody, all those different groups, there's a lot of different groups and a lot of moving parts, and nobody likes each other. So whoever we support, then they got them over here, and they got them over here. Mm-hmm. Oh, now they got Russia. Fuck, okay, now we're stuck. We're in a stalemate with that. Yeah. I say, fucking come home. Fuck it. You know, and it's sad because they need to... there's a civil war in Islam, the Shia and the Sunnis.
Yeah.
They need to fight it out and figure out who wins. And then we'll deal with the aftermath of that, which sucks because a lot of people are going to die. But a lot of people are dying now.
Right.
At least we're not going to be responsible, us as the United States, of dropping bombs on babies.
Yep.
Let's fuck it. Yeah, I know this was our fault. I get it. We bit off way more than we can chew. Russia, good luck to you. Good luck over there. We'll pump our own fucking oil here. We got plenty. We'll work on ourselves. That's it, right? I mean, it seems easy.
It's pretty straightforward. I mean, if there was a civil war in Mexico... And, like, the Mexican president asked us to come and help him, you know, suppress these people who are trying to overthrow his government and trying to do all this crazy stuff. And we're their allies, and we go help them. And then Russia shows up and is like, no, we're going to come in and stop the Mexican president because he's evil and hurting his own citizens. I don't think that would sit well with anybody on this side. You know, and yet that's exactly what we're doing over there. You know, we're just saying, hey, we want to save people by bombing people, and that never turns out well. It didn't turn out well in Libya, you know. It didn't turn out well in pretty much any other country that we've done that. Iraq.
I think that what the Middle East needs more of is more brutal dictators that rule with an iron fist.
Yes,
because those people are insane. They don't want democracy. I know we try to do the right thing. We want to give them what we have here. They don't want it. Mm-hmm. It's not, their religion is first. It doesn't coincide with democracy.
Right.
So let's go home. We tried. We fucked up. We fucked up really bad. Sorry. Time to come home.
Right. And I mean, that's the point I was making about World War One. Like, that whole thing started. Like, we're in this mess because that war got pushed out longer than it should have. It was a moral war. You know, Wilson was like, hey, let's go in here and let's, you know, kill Germany because they're just evil bad guys. Like, before that, it wasn't your evil bad guys. It's like, oh, you're invading our land, or we want your land, or, oh, we're feuding kings. No, it had to get the support of the people because we're a democracy or a republic. And we're like, okay, well, we need to paint an evil bad guy. And then you had banks who were basically funding underwriting the trade between Britain and the United States. So they had an interest in the war going on longer. So, you know, they're doing the inner workings there with the politics, and suddenly we're entering a war that we shouldn't have been in. And even in the lead up to the war, you had all this crazy propaganda about how evil the Germans were. And the Germans were probably the least blameworthy party in the war. They just kind of got drug in because of alliances. It was so ridiculous, that war. In the first place, and it's so ridiculous that it lasted. Now, after the war, when they came in and we won, okay, now what we're going to do is we're going to do the good thing. We're going to help people to, you know, have self-identity. We want them to have their own states. So what we're going to do is we're going to create these states on a map. We're just going to cut these things up out of the old Ottoman Empire, and we're just going to do this here and move that over there and create these imaginary states, imaginary lines. All right, now we're going to put these people in charge of these people. We know they hate each other, but we need somebody to run the place, and these people seem to side with us, so we're going to put them over these people, but we're going to put them together. You know, we'll call this place Yugoslavia, even though there's no such thing as a Yugoslav. Mm-hmm. We're just going to take these two words, jam them together, and that's what they did. And all the conflicts in the 20th century is a result of us doing that shit.
Right.
Like, did it in Africa, too. It's like, oh, shove these people together. Ah, oh, they're killing each other. Well, we better go in there and stop them because they're evil. Like, no, asshole, you shouldn't have put them there in the first place. These people have been warring since before time, and... It just makes my head hurt.
I know, me too. I like to think that we started this stuff as a good. We meant well. And it just has been a domino effect. Our meaning well has just caused more and more and more shit. Mm. Just come home. I don't care if they asked for... I had this conversation with my dad. Well, a lot of them asked for bases to be there to protect against. I don't care. I don't care. We're in a geographically great part of the world. We're in this big island, pretty much. We can set up our missile silos for defense. We can have all our boats waiting in the ocean if anybody comes over here. Fuck it, man. Good luck to you all. We're staying here. I know that's an isolationist attitude, but at this point, I'm ready to just be an isolationist. I think our culture's way better. I think we're better suited here. Sucks for you guys. Sorry, I hope you figure it out. Good luck.
Work your shit out, please.
We'll end on that note. Dave, thank you very much for coming in. I appreciate you.
All right. Thank you so much, Will. It was a blast.
You'll have to come back sometimes. We'll talk more. Once the election's over, we'll see what happens. when the first nuke gets dropped, you can come and do the first and last podcast of the new world.
Last thing I'll say is I told you so, and then nothing.